نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، to continue with Lum'at al-Ittiqad, the book of Creed and Belief compiled by the Imam Ibn Qudama al-Baqdisi rahimahullah, then we are still on the section of the speech of Allah the Most High, and on the specific section of the Qur'an being from the speech of Allah the Most High. And we reach the last section. So instead of beginning with some questions as a reminder, then if we have time inshaAllah, then I'll just read the section, the explanation of Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, and round it off with some of the points that we can take from the explanation of Shaykh ibn Thaymeen, rahimahullah, as a summary of what we had last week, and what comes this week as well, as a summary from Shaykh ibn Thaymeen, inshaAllah, instead of the questions at the beginning this time, inshaAllah. So, to continue with the explanation, then the Imam Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah ta'ala, he continues on what we have in this Egyptian print that most of us have with us, begins on page 143. The saying of the Imam, وَقَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ اِقْرَأُوا الْقُرْآنِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ قَوْمٌ يُقِيمُونَ حُرُوفَهُ إِقَامَةَ السَّهَمِ لا يجاوز تراقيهم يتأجلون أجره ولا يتأجلونه. And as often happens here, there's a printing error. It's got يتأل something or other. Instead of يتأجلون, they've got the letters the wrong way around. It's been typed the wrong way around or something. So it should be towards the end of the hadith, يتأجلون. With the ayn, and then a jeem with a shadda on it, and then a lam in the middle of the word. He said, and he, alayhi salam, and he, may Allah grant him peace and security, obviously referring to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he, may Allah grant him peace and security, said, recite the Qur'an before there comes a people who will straighten its letters, just as an arrow is made straight. They will seek to bring its reward forward, and will not wait for its reward in the hereafter. As for this hadith, then the verifier, Shaykh Badr al-Badr, hafizahullah, that he mentioned in his checking of the book, now this hadith occurs with a number of similar wordings from a hadith of Sahl ibn Sa'ad, reported by Ahmad, Abu Dawood, Ibn Hibban, At-Tabarani. He said, and in its chain of narration is Wafa ibn Shuraih al-Sadafi, about whom Ibn Hajar said in At-Taqrib, Maqbool, meaning acceptable, only when he's supported, otherwise weak. So in other words, the narration of Abu Dawud, there's a weakness in the chain of narration. This narrator who has some degree of weakness. He said, however, it has a witness which strengthens it. From a hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah, reported by Ahmad, and again also by Abu Dawud, in the hadith just before the first one, Abu Dawud reports this hadith number 831, he brings his supporting narration, hadith 830. He said, and its chain of narration is sahih, authentic. And as for Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, then he said about this hadith, hasanun sahih. And you can refer to the book of Shaykh al-Albani, as-sahihah, under hadith number 259. That Shaykh al-Albani authenticates this hadith. That, as we heard, it's got two chains of narration. And the hadith, at the end of the day, is authentic. And just briefly, With regard to the part of the hadith, يُقِيمُونَ حُرُوفَهُ إِقَابَةَ السَّهَمُ, that there will come a people who will straighten its letters with the straightening of an arrow. And the explainer of Abu Dawud in Awl Ma'bud, just a side point to help you to understand this phrase, the explainer in Awl Ma'bud said, meaning they go to great lengths with regard to the recitation, doing so for show and to be heard and to vie with others and for fame. Explaining that phrase, that they straighten its letters, the straightening of an arrow, the same way that an arrow is made very straight, and they make it very precise and straight. With regard to the explanation of Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, then he said, he mentioned this hadith after the hadith which shows the virtue of the one who recites the Qur'an and recites it with grammatical correctness and precisely upon the correct way according to the language. I mean the hadith we heard last time. So he mentions this hadith after mentioning that last hadith about the person who recites the Qur'an, recites it with grammatical correctness and precision upon the correct way according to the language, he said, upon which it came down. Then for him are 10 rewards for every letter. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, however, in this hadith, in the hadith of this week, however, in this hadith, he makes clear that what is intended is not merely recitation, but rather what is intended is recitation in order to act upon the Qur'an. So the recitation is a means and the goal is action upon the noble Qur'an. So do not think that this reward for the reciter is just for mere recitation alone, even if the person does not act upon the Qur'an. Rather, this reward is for the person who recites the Qur'an and acts upon it. And therefore, He the Majestic and Most High said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً يَرْجُونَ تِجَارَةً لَنْ تَبُورَ لِيُوَفِّيَهُمْ أُجُورَهُمْ وَيَزِيدَهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ شَكُورٌ. Surah Fatir, Ayahs 29 to 30, with the explanation, those who recite the Book of Allah and who establish the prayer and who spend from what we have provided them with secretly and openly, having hope in a trade that will never fail, so that He may give them their rewards in full and give them more from His bounty. Indeed, He is one who forgives extensively, one who appreciates and rewards abundantly. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so he did not stop at his saying, يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ. So, meaning Allah the Most High didn't stop in the ayah at those who recite the Book of Allah. Rather, he said, وَأَقَامُ الصَّلَاةِ وَأَنْفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً. After mentioning that they recite the Book of Allah, then he mentioned, and they establish the prayer, and they spend from what we have provided them with, secretly and openly. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so there must be, along with the recitation, knowledge of the Noble Qur'an. Come on. And there's a printing error, as I suspect, there's a printing error here which crops up quite a bit in this section. But he said, the Egyptian version here has got لا بد من القراءة من العلم بالقرآن الكريم. What it should be, as in other places as well, لا بد مع القراءة من العمل بالقرآن الكريم. So rather, the translation of that should be, after correction, that He, the Most High. So he said, he did not stop at his saying, they recite the Book of Allah. Rather, he said, and they establish the prayer, and they spend from what we have provided them with, secretly and openly. So there must be, along with the recitation, amal, action, upon the Noble Qur'an. As for mere recitation, for show, for riyah, or for sum'ah, to be heard, or for madh, or for praise, then this will not benefit its person at all. Or reciting the Qur'an to make it a means to devour wealth with, as is done by some of those who seek benefit from hiring themselves out for recitation on occasions and at parties, and they have no occupation except the occupation of reciting. And they are the people furthest removed from action upon the Qur'an. Indeed, some of them, and some of these people who just hire themselves out as professional reciters of the Qur'an, Sheikh said, so these are some of the people who are the furthest removed from action upon the Qur'an. Indeed, some of them may not even pray, but he can recite in a fine manner and with a fine voice. However, he does not act upon the Qur'an and does not pray. Rather, he just takes recitation of the Qur'an as an occupation to eat from. So this has a severe threat that he will be from those who لا يتجاوز القرآن تراقيهم. The part of the hadith which I didn't translate in the main text, that the Qur'an will not exceed their collarbones. So just to repeat the main hadith of the section, I didn't translate that part. The main hadith brought by the Imam Ibn Qudamah, that he said, peace and security upon him, said, recite the Qur'an before there comes a people who straighten its letters just as an arrow is made straight. It will not go beyond their collarbones. They seek to bring its reward forward and will not wait for its reward in the hereafter. Or do not await its reward that will come in the hereafter. So the part of the hadith that Sheikh Fawzan, Hafidhullah, uses here as evidence, he said, those who just recite the Qur'an as an occupation to eat from, those who don't act upon it, don't pray for example, he said, this has upon it the tremendous threat that he will be from those who لا يتجاوز القرآن تراقيهم, those whom the Qur'an does not go beyond their collarbones. He said, meaning it does not reach their hearts. I mean, it's upon their tongues, but it does not go any further down. It doesn't go down and reach their hearts. Those whom the Qur'an does not go beyond their collarbones, the Shaykh said, meaning it does not reach their hearts. They recite it with their tongues for some personal worldly gain, and it does not reach their hearts, and Allah's refuge is sought. And he said, and also, there are some people who recite the Qur'an and make the recitation precise, and who straighten it like the straightening of an arrow. Obviously, the meaning being that arrow is made very straight. If it's not, arrow is not made very straight, it will not fly correctly. It will go off course. So arrows are made extremely straight. So he said, there are some people who recite the Qur'an and make the recitation precise and straighten it just like the straightening of an arrow. And he is very precise in the recitation. However, he does not understand the meaning. He does not understand the meaning. And he does not gain knowledge and understanding of the Book of Allah. And he does not give importance to tafsir. He does not give importance to explanation of the Qur'an so that he could act upon it. Rather, he just pronounces its wording only, and he does not know the meanings. Or, he mentions another category of people, or uses the Qur'an as evidence, not in a correct way, as is done by the Khawarij. So the Khawarij are amongst those people who are the most abundant in reciting the Qur'an. However, they shoot out from the religion just as an arrow shoots straight through the game. An arrow that's shot into an animal, it flies in one side, it flies straight out of what is hit. He said, because they do not acquire knowledge and understanding of the Qur'an, and they do not learn the meanings of the Qur'an in the required manner. So the Qur'an does not go beyond their throats, because they do not acquire understanding of it and do not learn its knowledge. So a number of affairs are essential. And then Shaykh al-Fawzan mentions three matters. Three matters that are essential with regard to recitation of the Qur'an, or with regard to the Qur'an. He said, firstly, the recitation, وَالْإِنَايَةُ بِهَا. Again, there's a printing error here. They've brought a ha and a waw into this word somehow. But it should be al-inaya, giving importance. So he said, firstly, the recitation and giving importance to it. Secondly, acquiring awareness of the meanings and the tafsir, the explanation, and what Allah, the Majestic and Most High, meant by His speech. And thirdly, he mentions a third matter. He said, and it is the goal. It's what is required, it's the goal, the desired goal. Al-amalu bil-Qur'an. Action upon the Qur'an. So he mentioned these three. First, the recitation, giving importance to it. Secondly, acquiring knowledge of the meanings, the tafsir, and what is meant by Allah the Most High, by His speech. And thirdly, he said, and it is the goal. Action upon the Qur'an. As for at-tilawah, as for recitation and understanding the meaning, then these are wasa'il, these are means. However, the goal, the ghaya, the goal, and what is desired is al-amal. Again, they put ilm here, they mix the letters around. It should be huwa al-amal bil-Qur'an. He said, the goal and what is desired is action upon the noble Qur'an, as is wanted by Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And to hold what is contained in it as aqidah, as creed and belief. And he said, yes, there are those who recite the Qur'an and who recite well. However, they hold as creed and belief something contrary they hold as their aqidah, their creed and belief, something contrary to what is indicated by the Qur'an, such as the Jahmiyya and the Mu'tazila and the Ash'a'ira. Some people recite the Qur'an, they may recite it very well, from these deviant sects he mentioned, such as the Jahmiyya, the Mu'tazila and the Ash'aris. He said, they say, the Qur'an is the Wahir Lafziyya. This is what these groups say. They say the Qur'an is wordings which convey apparent meanings. And this is what these people say. They say just the words of the Qur'an, they give an apparent meaning, but that's not what is actually meant. That's what these people claim. So he said they say that the Qur'an is just wordings which convey apparent meanings. However, we do not build our aqidah, we do not build our creed and belief, they say, except upon principles of logic which are certain. That's what these groups say. Say the, in other words, the Qur'an, we do not use the Qur'an to acquire belief, because it's just these wordings which have an apparent meaning, nothing certain and definite. Rather, what is certain and definite is these principles of logic, that's what we base our creed and belief upon. The Shaykh said about them, so those people are not from the people of the Qur'an, even if they read it precisely, because they do not base and build their creed and belief, they do not base their aqidah upon it. Rather, they build it upon ilm al-kalam. They build their belief upon rhetorical theology. So where are those people with respect to the Qur'an? Those people are not from the people of the Qur'an. They don't take it as their basis of creed and belief, rather upon principles of logic and rhetorical theology. The Shaykh said, mere recitation alone and beautifying the recitation is not what is required. Rather, this recitation will be a proof against them on the day of resurrection. Just as he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Al-Qur'anu hujjatun laka aw alayk. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Qur'an will be a proof for you or against you. In a footnote they mention, this is a part of a hadith of Abu Malik al-Ash'ari, as it should be. Again, a printing error here. A part of a hadith of Abu Malik al-Ash'ari reported by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad and by Muslim and by Tirmidhi. And you'll find it in Sahih Muslim as the very first hadith in the Book of Purification, this hadith. This being a part of the hadith, that the Qur'an will be a proof for you or against you. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, a proof for you if you act upon it, and a proof against you if you do not act upon it. If you do not act upon it in aqidah, in creed and belief. If you do not act upon it regarding the prayer, the salah, and fasting, and the hajj. If you do not act upon it regarding what is sought from you with regard to avoiding the forbidden things and doing the obligatory duties. Everything in accordance to the person's capacity and ability. And there is not any one of us except that he has deficiencies. Astaghfirullah. I seek Allah's forgiveness. The Shaykh said, however, it is obligatory to turn to the Book of Allah and to give importance and attention to it. And what is required is not just to recite the Qur'an in a beautiful tone and to beautify the voices and to attract listeners. This is not what is required. What is required is al-amal, action, and fearfulness and having fear of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. Surah Al-Anfal, the 8th Surah, Ayah 2. With the explanation that the believers are only those who, when Allah is mentioned, their hearts tremble. And when His signs, when His ayat are recited to them, it increases them in iman. Shaykh Fawzan said, the recitation, if the believer hears it, it increases him in iman. The recitation, if the believer, the mu'min, hears it, it strikes him from fear of Allah, the Perfect and Most High, and it has an effect upon him. And therefore he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he recited the Qur'an in the prayer, a murmuring noise would be heard like the sound of a cooking pot in his chest from weeping, alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he recited the Qur'an, people would hear, coming from his inside, from his chest, a murmuring, a gurgling, a murmuring noise, like the sound of the boiling of a cooking pot from weeping, alayhi salatu wasalam. In a footnote they mentioned here, this is reported by Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood from a hadith of Abdullah ibn al-Shikhir. And this hadith is declared sahih, authentic by Shaykh al-Albani, rahmahullah. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and when he listened, again referring to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when he listened to the recitation of Ibn Mas'ud from Surah An-Nisa, and he reached his saying, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَا أُولَاءِ شَهِيدًا. Surah An-Nisa, the 4th Surah, Ayah 41. Ibn Mas'ud read from the Surah until he reached this Ayah with the explanation, so how will it be when we bring from every nation a witness and we bring you, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a witness over those people? He said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, hasbuk, enough, enough for you. Meaning, Shaykh Fawzan, meaning halt, stop. He said, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, So I turned and his two eyes were shedding tears, alayhi salatu wassalam. In a footnote they mention, reported by Ahmad in the Musnad and also by Al-Bukhari as hadith 4582, and by Muslim and Abu Dawud al-Tirmidhi from a hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Shaykh Fawzan said, this is how the Qur'an acts within the hearts of the believers when they hear it or recite it. It causes in them fear and fearfulness and weeping. And it causes them to perform righteous deeds and causes them to become a righteous and good example. As for mere recitation alone and beautifying the recitation and being aware of the seven modes of recitation, or the ten, in the seven or ten different ways of reciting the Mus'haf, then this is not what is required. Even if the person recites it with the seven recitations or with the ten recitations, if a person learned all the seven different modes of recitation, or if he learned all the ten different modes of recitation, recited it with all of them, Shaykh said, this is not what is required. What is required and desired is action upon the Qur'an. That is what is required and desired. This is the required goal with regard to the Qur'an. As for learning the recitations and making the recitation very precise, then these are just means to an end. In learning the different ways of reciting it and being very precise in the recitation, these are just means. These are means to the end. To the end, the goal which is required, which is action upon the Qur'an. Then the Imam Ibn Qudamah, he brings something else in the main text. He said, وَقَالَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا إِعْرَابُ الْقُرْآنِ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْنَا مِنْ حِفْظِ بَعْضِ خُرُوفِهِ. He said, and Abu Bakr and Umar رضي الله عنهما said, the correct reading of the Qur'an is more beloved to us than the memorization of some of its letters. As for the verifier, Shaykh Badr al-Badr, then he said about this report, this is reported by Ibn al-Anbari in his book Al-Waqf wal-Ibtida' with the wording, some correct reading of the Qur'an is more pleasing to us than the memorization of some of its letters. Shaykh Badr al-Badr said, its chain of narration is very weak. The chain of narration of this report is very weak. He said, it contains Jabir ibn Yazid al-Ju'fi, and he was weak. And it likewise contains Shariq, who was Ibn Abdullah al-Qadhi, who was generally acceptable, however, he made many mistakes and his memory deteriorated. His memory fell to pieces, meaning in later life. And it is cut off, the chain of narration is cut off between Abu Bakr and Umar and the narrator who narrates from them. And this chain of narration has three weaknesses. As for commentary upon this report, this narration, and Shaykh al-Fawzan said, its meaning is that making the recitation precise and not making lahan, not making grammatical mistakes, is better than abundant recitation which contains grammatical errors and mistakes. He said, so you're memorizing a little from the Qur'an and being precise in it and reading it correctly as is desired. This is better than you're reciting a great deal, however, not reciting it properly in the required manner. Then the Imam Ibn Qudamah continues, وَقَالَ عَلِيٌّ رضي الله عنه من كفر بحرف منه فقد كفر به كله. He said, and Ali رضي الله عنه said, whoever disbelieves in one letter of it, then he has disbelieved in all of it. As for the verifier, Shaykh Badr al-Badr, then he says about this report that he does not find anyone who brings this report. He looked and searched, but he didn't find who reports this narration from Ali رضي الله عنه. He said, however, it occurs from a saying of Ibn Mas'ud that whoever disbelieves in a single letter of the Qur'an, then he has disbelieved in all of it. This is reported from him, from Ibn Mas'ud, as his saying, by Abdul Razzaq in his Musannaf, and its chain of narration is sahih, authentic. Also reported by Al-Bayhaqi. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, in explanation of this saying of Ali radiallahu anhu, that whoever disbelieves in one letter of it, then he has disbelieved in all of it. The Shaykh said, so how about if he denies an ayah? Or he denies a surah? Or a number of surahs from the Qur'an, then his unbelief is worse, and Allah's refuge is sought. In the text, it just mentions one letter, disbelieving in one letter. So the Shaykh said, what about then someone who denies a whole ayah, or a whole surah, or a number of surahs? His unbelief is worse, and Allah's refuge is sought. Or who denies a single word from the Qur'an, then his unbelief is worse, because he is denying the speech of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And it is fitting to mention here that some people think that Taha and Yasin are from the names of the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is a mistake. In these two, Taha, obviously the beginning of Surah Taha, the 20th Surah, and Yasin, the beginning of Surah Yasin, the 36th Surah, he said, some people think that these are names of the Messenger, and this is a mistake. So Taha is from the unconnected letters, Al-Huruf Al-Muqatta'a. Taha is from the unconnected letters. Ta and Ha, these are two letters. And likewise, Ya Seen is a Ya, Ya is a letter, and Seen is a letter. And it is not from the names of the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he mentions what these people do based upon this idea of theirs, this wrong idea. And they call their children Yasin and Taha, claiming that these are names, but they are actually unconnected letters. Then the Imam Ibn Qudama, he finishes the section on the Quran by saying, وَاتَّفَقَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ عَلَىٰ عَدْلِ سُوَرِ الْقُرْآنِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَكَلِمَاتِهِ وَحُرُوفِهِ. He said, and the Muslims are agreed upon enumerating the number of the surahs of the Qur'an, and its ayahs, and its words, and its letters. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, there is no doubt that the number of the ayahs of the Qur'an and the number of its surahs, how many there are of them, how many its ayahs are in number, and how many its surahs are in number, and how many its letters are in number, is something known. And whoever wants to acquire awareness of that, then let him go back and refer to the books of the sciences of the Qur'an, which are called Usul al-Tafsir, the fundamentals of Tafsir, such as the book Al-Itqan of Imam As-Suyuti, and other books from the books of fundamentals of Tafsir. And then the quote of Ibn Qudama, he continues until he ends this section, وَلَا خِلَافَ بَيْنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فِي أَنَّ مَنْ جَحَدَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ سُورَةً أَوْ آيَةً أَوْ كَلِمَةً أَوْ حَرْفًا مُتَّفَقًا. Again, printing error, should have an alif after the qaf there, with a tanween upon it, مُتَّفَقًا عَلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ كَافِرٌ وَفِي هَذَا حُجَّةٌ قَاطِئَةٌ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ حُرُوفٌ. He said, and there is no disagreement between the Muslims about the fact that whoever denies from the Qur'an a single surah, or a single ayah, or a single word, or a single letter, which has been agreed upon, that he is an unbeliever. And this contains a decisive proof that it consists of letters. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, whoever denies the Qur'an, or denies a surah from it, or an ayah from it, or a letter from it, he is an unbeliever, a kafir, by consensus of the Muslims. However, with the condition that this letter, there is agreement upon its being authentically a letter from it. And just to finish off, the explanation of Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah, and he said, and we had part of the first part of his explanation some weeks ago, And he continued, Al-Qur'an hurufun wa kalimat. So this part said, summarizing what we had for the last few lessons, he said, Shaykh Fawzan said, the Qur'an is composed of letters and words. He said, the Qur'an is letters and words. And the author, rahimahullah, mentioned 8 proofs for that. The Qadama here, and what we've had in this whole section, has mentioned 8 proofs for that fact. The fact that the Qur'an is composed of letters and words, he said. First, that the unbelievers said that it is poetry. And it could not be described with that unless it was compiled, unless it was composed of letters and words. And they wouldn't have made that claim, it would have been foolish to make any such claim if the Qur'an was not composed, as it actually is, of letters and words. They would not have been able to make any such claim, even though the claim is false. The Shaykh said, second proof, is that Allah challenged those who deny it to bring its like. And if it were not composed of letters and words, then this challenge would not be an acceptable one. Since it is not possible to challenge except with something which is known what it is. Thirdly, that Allah informed that the Qur'an was recited to them. وَإِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُنَا بَيِّنَاتٍ قَالَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا إِئْتِ بِقُرْآنٍ غَيْرِ هَذَا أَوْ بَدِّلْهُ قُلْ مَا يَكُونُ لِي أَنْ أُبَدِّلَهُ. Surah Yunus, 15th ayah, with the explanation, and when our clear signs are recited to them, those who do not have hope in the meeting with us say, bring a different Qur'an to this one, or change it. Say, it is not for me to change it. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen said, and something cannot be recited unless it is letters and words. Fourth, that Allah informed that it is preserved in the hearts of the people of knowledge and written in the preserved tablet, Allahul Mahfuz. بَلْ هُوَ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ Surah Al-Ankabut, Ayah 49, with the explanation. Rather, it is clear signs in the hearts of those given knowledge. And they quote some further ayahs. إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ فِي كِتَابٍ مَكْنُونٌ لَا يَمَسُّهُ إِلَّا الْمُطَحَّرُونَ Surah Al-Waqi'ah, Ayah 77 to 79, with the explanation, it is a noble Qur'an, or it is an honorable Qur'an in a guarded book. It is not touched except by those made pure. Shaykh Al-Thimin said, it cannot be memorized and written unless it is composed of letters and words. Fifthly, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever recites the Qur'an and recites it correctly, then he receives for every letter from it 10 rewards. And whoever reads it and makes errors in it, then for him there is one good deed for every letter. We had that this was a weak narration, the Shaykh said. So the author here uses it as an evidence, but he does not quote it back to anyone, and we do not find anyone who reports that. The sixth evidence that he brings is what we came this week. He said, the saying of Abu Bakr and Umar, the correct reading of the Qur'an is more beloved to us than memorizing some of its letters. The seventh evidence is the saying of Ali radiallahu anhu, whoever disbelieves in a single letter from it, and he has disbelieved in all of it. The eighth evidence, and last evidence, Ibn Qudama brings in this section, is the consensus of the Muslims, as the author reported, upon the fact that whoever denies a surah, or an ayah, or a word, or a letter, which is agreed upon, then he is an unbeliever. Shaykh Al-Thimin said, and the number of the surahs of the Qur'an is 114. And 29 of them begin with unconnected letters. Then Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ends this whole explanation with another section where he said, the descriptions of the Qur'an, he said, or the descriptions or attributes of the Qur'an, he said, Allah has described the Honorable Qur'an with tremendous characteristics, many of them. The author mentioned those which follow. And then he mentions eight characteristics that Ibn Qudamah describes the Qur'an within this section. Firstly, that it is Allah's clear book, meaning it makes clear whatever it contains from rulings and akhbar, stories and information. Secondly, so firstly, أَنَّهُ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ الْمُبِينَ. Secondly, أَنَّهُ حَبْلُ اللَّهِ الْمَتِينَ. Secondly, that it is Allah's strong rope, meaning His strong covenant, which Allah has made a means to reach Him and to successful attainment of the honor which He grants. Thirdly, أَنَّهُ سُوَرٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ. Third description that the author brings here of the Qur'an is that it is decisive and precise surahs. The Shaykh said, meaning its surahs are clearly defined. Every surah is separated from the others. And muhkamat means precise and preserved from deficiencies and contradictions. Fourthly, the fourth description of the Qur'an he brings is أَنَّهُ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ, that it is clear signs. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen said, meaning clear signs proving the Tawheed of Allah and the perfection of His attributes and the beauty of His revealed laws. Fifthly, that it contains مُحْكَمًا وَمُتَشَابِهًا. The Qur'an contains that which is muhkam, that which is clear and decided, that which is clear, and it contains mutashabih, that which is not immediately clear, the Shaykh said. So the muhkam, that which is clear, means that which is clear, and that which is mutashabih means that which is obscure. And there is no contradiction between this and what preceded. That's point number three. Because at that place, we had this before, that the two different meanings are muhkam and mutashabih. Because at that place, muhkam meant precise and being preserved from deficiencies and contradictions. And here it means clarity in meaning. So if we refer the mutashabih, that which is unclear from it, to that which is muhkam, which is clear, then it all becomes muhkam. In those ayahs of the Qur'an which are mutashabih, their meaning is not immediately clear. If they're referred back to the muhkam, to that which is clear, then their meaning becomes muhkam as well. So the whole of the Qur'an in that sense then becomes muhkam, clear. The sixth description is that it is truth, that falsehood cannot approach it from any direction. لَا يَأْتِيهِ الْبَاطِلُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَلَا مِنْ خَلْفِهِ تَنْزِيلٌ مِنْ حَكِيمٍ حَمِيدٍ. Surah Fussilat, 42nd ayah. With the explanation, no falsehood approaches it from in front nor from behind. It is revelation sent down from one all-wise, deserving of all praise. And the seventh attribute given by the Imam to the Qur'an, the Shaykh said, is that it is free from what those who deny it describe it with. It is free from what those who deny it describe it with. From their saying that it is poetry. وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ الشِّعَ وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ وَقُرْآنٌ مُبِينٌ. Surah Yasin, ayah 69, with the explanation, and we did not teach him poetry, and it is not befitting for him. It is just a reminder and a clear Qur'an. Shaykh said, and some of them said, إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا سِحْرٌ إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا سِحْرٌ يُؤْثَرُ إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا قَوْلُ الْبَشَرِ. Surah Al-Muddathir, ayahs 24 and 25, with the explanation that some of them said, this is just sorcery, which has been picked up from someone else. This is just the speech of a human. The Shaykh said, so Allah said, threatening this person who said it, سَأُصْلِيهِ سَقَرْ, I will burn him in the fire of hell. the blazing fire of hell. Surah Al-Muddathir, ayah 26, which reminds me of the homework, by the way. So then the eighth and last point of description, that is that the Qur'an is mu'jiza, is something miraculous. It's something miraculous. It is not possible for anyone to bring its like, even if other people aid him. قُلَّ إِنِ اجْتَمَعَتِ الْإِنسُ وَالْجِنُّ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَأْتُوا بِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لَا يَأْتُونَ بِمِثْلِ وَلَوْ كَيَانَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ ظَهِيرٍ. Surah Al-Isra, Ayah 88, 17th Surah, Ayah 88, with the explanation, say if mankind and jinn gathered together to bring the light of this Qur'an, they could not bring its light, even if some of them helped the others. So these are the eight descriptions of the Qur'an brought by Ibn Qudamah for the Qur'an in this section. With regard to the homework, if we've forgotten, who can remember the homework for a start? I don't know what it was, I forgot myself. And we had this quote here, we had the report that the one who said this, that it is just the Qur'an, is just a speech of a human in Surah Al-Muddathir that someone said. One disbeliever in the Qur'an said it's just the speech of a human. We had Shaykh Al-Fawzan mentioning that the one who said this was Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira al-Makhzumi. Who can remember who his famous son was? Who knows who his famous son was? He had a famous son.
Khalid ibn Walid.
Anybody not know? It's too easy. Yeah, his famous son, of course, was Khalid ibn Walid, radiallahu anhu. Famous Muslim general, Khalid ibn Walid, was the son of this unbeliever, this person. His father, Al-Walid, he died as an unbeliever within 1 year of the Hijrah. He died as an unbeliever. He was the one, as Shaykh Fawzan mentioned, referred to in those ayahs from Surah Al-Muddathir, as a person of authentic narration. As for the son, and Khalid ibn Walid, and as known, he became Muslim. He became a famous general, and fighter, and for Islam. رضي الله عنه. And of course, clarification. With regard to the first point of the text, the hadith, which I missed the translation of the middle part of it to begin with, that it was the saying of the Imam Ibn Qudamah, and said, He, may Allah grant him peace and security, said, recite the Qur'an before there comes a people who will straighten its letters, just as an arrow is made straight. It will not go beyond their collarbones. They seek to bring its reward forward, meaning into this world, and will not wait for its reward which comes in the hereafter. That's how the explainers, such as the explainer Al-Ma'mud, explains the hadith. The last phrase, يَتَعَجَّلُونَ أَجْرَهُ وَلَا يَتَعَجَّلُونَهُ. Literally, they seek to bring forward its reward and they do not leave its reward till later. They seek to bring it forward and they do not leave it till later. Meaning with regard to the reward, they seek to do use the Qur'an to attain worldly benefit and not seeking the reward of Allah the Most High in the hereafter. May Allah save us from being from that. Jazakallah khairan. Subhanak Allah. Wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka.
Jazakallah khairan.